داري الخلائق أجمعين صلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين بالقاسم محمد صلى الله وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, I started the topic of marriage just for these two nights, last night and tonight, and we don't have much time left. And tomorrow the nights for Shahadat will start, so I will take up something else to discuss for the next three nights. So tonight I'll just add something to what we started, because the issue of marriage, and especially the emotional issues related to marriage, is a very vast issue and deep. I tried to just show some like pointers, you know, the things for you to think about, and I will discuss today two things. One is the areas where problems happen in marriage. I emphasized the issue of love yesterday, and what are the primary things we need to do to alaykum salam, to make sure there's a positive environment in the family. Today I will just talk about two things. One is the areas where there's a potential conflict in the marriage that you have to be very careful about. The other is what kinds of problems happen, nature of problems. Well, first of all, I'll list out the areas of conflict, areas where there are disagreements in marriage. Any marriage, you'll see, you'll agree with me if you hear this. One is work stress, job-related stress. Depends on, for example, if one person is working in the family, and the kind of work he's doing, that brings stress to the family. And if both of them are working and both are doing a stressful job, you can just multiply it. That much the marriage, the relationship, will be affected by that stress element. The second is in-laws. Troubles with families, troubles with in-laws. And some people, they have to either take care of their elders or their elders living with them. And there is emphasis in Islam. You know, Islam lays a lot of emphasis on respect of parents and love and all of that, care. And some people confuse that with living together. That you have to, because you respect and love your parents, so you have to take care of them. In certain cases where they are elderly and all that, that means that they have to live with you necessarily in all circumstances. And when that happens, the husband or somebody is forcing the other spouse to be obedient to the parents and to take care of the parents and to listen to and basically deal with everything that comes along with them. I have looked at different, you know, research on this subject related to Islamic, you know, teachings about in-laws and parents, you know. And I couldn't find anything which says that Islam requires that parents of the husband or wife should live with the family, that they have to live with the family. Which means that Islam has not endorsed joint family system. Islam has not endorsed or encouraged joint family system, that families living together, you know, has not. In fact, there are certain indicators in Quran which show that Islam accepts living, you know, in fact, in place where, you know, houses of uncles, houses of aunts, houses of talks, ayat of Quran, that means each has a different house. It's not, if they were all living together, houses of your parents, you know, because parents have their own homes, for example. If they were, suppose they were, it was assumed that they are living with you, elderly parents, that means, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you don't do that, but I'm saying that, alaykum salam, that is an element which creates conflict in marriage, especially when, with respect to women especially, they are forced to now take care of everybody, cook food for so many people, take care of, and if that brings also, because we are human beings, everybody, you know, we have all our shortcomings, and there may be situations where presence of other people other than the husband and wife and the kids, you know, the nuclear family, as they say. Other than that, that puts burden on the family, on the relationship, I mean. Because when a person gets married, then the husband and wife become the family. That is the primary family. Everybody else is secondary. Even the parents are secondary in with respect to the marriage itself. Marriage means the marriage of husband, two people, and then their children. That's about it. Then taking care of the elderly, that is a duty. Naturally, it's a shukr of Allah. It is a human need. The person who feels gratitude for all that he has received. But that should not be mixed with living together necessarily, because we have to look case by case. And whenever there is a chance of any troubles between husband and wife, that is the place where you draw the line. That is the place we say, okay, we have to first of all fix our family. We have to keep our family strong. That is and must be strong. That relates not just to the two of them, their physical and mental health, well-being, also to the children. If they see differences in the family, that's not good for the children. Whatever is the source of the conflict in the family, that source has to be dealt with. Work-related stress, do something about it. Deal with the stress such that it does not affect the relationship. If two people are working in the family, all this added, do something so that the stress is down. Change the nature of the job, hours of work. If for example, maintain a little bit simple lifestyle, you know, why do you have to? Why does everyone, you know, has to have a huge house that requires that two people must be working and all of that? Find a way to deal with these issues, you know, some more, you know, moral virtues like contentment, and you can save some money there too. But then you get used to looking at other people. We are used to, you know, having all that kind of lifestyle, because everybody has it. That's your status you define for yourself. And what is more important here is the relationship. If that is being affected, there's no point in having a beautiful house. If the relationship is not strong, what will you do with it? The object of the whole house and everything was to have a happy family. The family was not the means to have a big house. You got it all wrong. That's confusing. Money is another source of trouble in the family. How you manage money, how you spend money, where you earn money, where you invest money, all of that. And for example, from the start Islam says mehr, because you need to learn to talk about money, how you deal with money, how much mehr, how you pay it, when do you pay it. See, money has been integrated into a marriage contract even, because it's a sensitive issue. You must learn to deal with money, the issue related to money. Now, I was talking last night about emotional history, and again, part of that is the spending style of where you grew up within your family. Some people were, you know, too cautious about spending money. Some were too open about spending this, you know. That all of that affects what is happening today in the marriage. Maybe some people have opposite reaction to what they experienced in their childhood, where there was no money, and now they have money, they want to just spend it, and you know. All of that affects the relationship. Intimacy, you know, the closeness of husband and wife. Why people get married, one of the primary reasons. That people don't know how to communicate, how to talk about it, how to make their needs understood. This confusion often, you know, is not talked about, and that creates further issues or complications. Sometimes they have problem dealing, they are talking about something else, and the problems are between their own selves, personal, you know, issues of intimacy. Housework, simple things like cleaning, managing the house, all of that, that people need to work together on it. Parenting is one of the major issues. How you raise your children. And what kind of rules, what is the point of reference for the rules that you are making for your children? Is it because the neighbor does it this way? Or is it because the TV, you know, is showing the, you know, or what is the model of, you know, of parenting that you take for yourself? Maybe the model of parenting that the wife has adopted is from one source, and the model, parenting model, which the husband has accepted is from a different source. Now, one is allowing a lot of freedom, the other is putting restrictions. The one who is allowing freedom is defining freedom in the wrong way probably. The one who is putting restrictions may also be putting restrictions in the wrong way. Right? Things that don't need so much control, you are controlling it, may possibly. Or that areas where there should not be a freedom, you are allowing too much freedom. Or where you should allow freedom, you are not allowing. Right? Things that should be encouraged in family are not being encouraged. Some families, you know, when people are watching a movie, everybody is involved. If someone wants to pray, must go and hide in the room and pray over there. This is wrong set of priorities. Absolutely wrong. You are teaching the child that prayer is a wrong thing. And watching a movie is a great thing to do, you know. Completely disrupts the whole system, the way a person thinks, you know. You've grown up thinking that, you know, to pray you should hide yourself. For doing a good thing, you go privately do it. For doing something wrong, you must go out public and do it. How much confusion it creates in the mind of a child. It doesn't, first of all, it shows us hypocrisy, you know. Calling yourself a Muslim for what? Secondly, you see the parents are not even confident about their own deen. Why are they requiring me to pray or do hijab or whatever? This is wrong. You know? So there has to be, those are the six areas of disagreement in marriages. If you can recite a salawat, I will add something. Another thing that's mostly based on research, and this is about kinds of problems in marriage, not the areas of conflict, rather in terms of how solvable problems are. It has been observed through a lot of research that most of the problems in marriage are not problems that could be solved immediately. Either there are problems that, like the way people are, you know, it will take time, or probably it's a matter which, for example, if someone has some issue, like either a physical ailment or a mental issue, depression, anxiety or something like that, that's a perpetual problem. For you to say, okay, let me fix it, press this button and fix it, or let's have an appointment with the doctor and fix it, this is, you take this pill and you'll be fine. Well, certain cases possibly, but not in many cases. Similarly, there are many issues, like a person, like people, you know, that sometimes the way they spend their money, the way they grew up, that's what's contributing to this. How they deal with their family, that's a perpetual issue. Family means like in-laws, all of those other things. Issues of intimacy, you know, all of these areas, you know, like just expressing their emotions. It's, one person gets very impulsive, the other is more thoughtful, takes time to think about it, the other is, you know, blood rushes very soon, you know, all of that. These are perpetual issues. 69% of problems are perpetual issues. And the rest of them are solvable problems in the sense that it can be easily fixed. Now, when I'm talking about perpetual problem, I don't mean that you can't solve the problem. You can't deal with it. Of course you can deal with it. What we need to understand is that you need to go a little deeper to understand, you know, what is bothering. What is the, for example, knowing the person better. If you know that someone is a little impulsive, that means you need to know the person better, what this causes, this causing this impulsiveness, history of the person. Right? What are the things that make a person stressed or angry, or what are the things that will make them happier? You know, so you need to know that, because the assumption is that you want to live together. Now, if you don't want to live together, you don't have to worry about it. But if you get married, that means now you have to know each other so that you can, these issues, you can work around these things. If someone is impulsive, you know how you have to work around it. Someone has a problem with anxiety, you should know, create an environment in the house that does not trigger so much anxiety, you know. Or if someone is depressed, or has a chronic, for example, physical problem, then you have to know how to deal with the person. So you don't make it worse, or you try to deal with it, manage it, you know, so that So again, the object is that the emotional bond is stronger in marriage. That's the whole idea. The whole idea, if we get our goal right, then we know all these things have to be lined up in such a way that the relationship gets stronger. Because that's what's going to affect you emotionally and physically also. If the relationship is happier, stronger relationship, you are physically feeling better. Families where there's abuse going on, whether abuse between husband and wife or abuse of children, parents themselves are physically affected. There's more chronic pain, there's more heart problems, there are neurological issues, and doctors know that very well. In fact, in certain cases, divorce is better than living in an abusive relationship. A relationship where there's emotional or physical abuse, that's more dangerous. There's more chance of heart attacks, cardiac arrest, you know, than getting a divorce and basically be done with, you know. And that's very sad, because they didn't do anything to prevent it. It comes to this point that now they have to do it this way, right? The stable marriages, they cope with perpetual issues. For example, they understand the issue and they work around it, you know. And because they want to see, you know, what are the dreams of the other person. Last night I emphasized on that, you know, dreams of the other person. If you get married, if two people get married, basically, you know, they need to know the person they get married to. What are the dreams? Dreams means like, what are the goals in life? What are the values? Maybe some of those are something you need to learn from. Some of those things are not good. You need to help correct it. So together, to make yourself more compatible with each other, both as human beings, also as Muslims, Shia Muslims, they need to follow the examples of Aimmah alayhi salam. And at the same time, like as human beings, well, people who are communists or atheists get married too, right? And they live happily forever. They don't kill each other because they are kafirs. They live together. All around us, people are non-Muslims, are living, and many of them are very happy. So there are things as human beings that people do and they keep themselves happy. But as Muslims and Shia Muslims, we have to be more than that. Not less. Happier and, you know, more fulfilling. The meaning, relationship should be more meaningful than just living together as two business partners, you know. It should be a relationship which leads to some more, you know, satisfaction in life. Not just material satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction. You feel like you gained something in this life. This married life led you to do so much, for example, and learn so much, become a better person, do so much for other people, you know, build a better society or community. All of that coming out. You can see that, you know, families as families, not as individuals. As families, some families are more, you know, they are contribute so much in terms of their services to the society. And their families where probably one person is doing it, but the rest of them are not. Because they are not on the same page, as they say. They didn't create that bond among themselves. How could they contribute together as families? Because they didn't learn to do teamwork, as they say, right? Now, teamwork could be for business, but teamwork could be for establishing good relationship and learn and acquire morals. Learning, intellectual growth, and also moral development requires a good understanding and teamwork. If one says, no, we can watch movies all night, other says, no, we have to, you know, on the other extreme of some religion that, you know, that does, Islam also does it, emphasize, you know. Some people take a such an extreme position that the children, as children, they cannot even deal with it. They cannot even take it, you know. Because they are children, they need fun, they need learning, they need to see people, you know, having a good relationship together. And if there's a good environment, then children are like more receptive in ways, you know. They are willing to listen more. Because they are curious to find out, they come and ask questions. If they don't see that stable relationship, they don't want to get too involved. They want to stay away, and that's not good. Because the same dynamics, family dynamics, are going to pass on to the next generation. How you saw your parents doing it, more or less they are saying the same thing with your children. If that thing could be fixed, you can't go back in time, but now is the time, so that the children tomorrow... Because behaviors are just learned behavior, you know. learned behavior. You cope with situations the way you have always coped with situations. In children, as a child, if you were coping with situations with fear, you consider a small trouble as a threat upon your existence, for example. Imagine how you will deal with it. And as husband or as wife, if something, small thing also, it's similar to what you experienced in your childhood, you're going to show the same reaction after 40 years. Because brains, you know, neurological pathways are created, and that's what that translates into action. To correct them requires a lot of effort. They can be corrected, but requires a lot of effort. To correct, once the neurological, you know, pathways are created, to correct them and change, erase memories and create new ones, it's not easy. Can be done, but how many people, for example, seek help? Just statistics in our own communities, you see, how many people ever go seek help for emotional issues? Hardly ever. That's why you have all these problems. Troubles, you know, fights, disturbances. I heard last night there was a trouble in the Islamic center. It's coming from exactly the same place. You get children beaten up, everybody is watching, and I mean, naturally, if you have some trouble like that, that's not the time for prevention, that's the time for now deal with the problem. Call the police, do something about it. But it's so sad that, you know, how much neglect is going on with children, that children allow themselves to hit another person. You know? What have they seen at home that they come out and hit other people? Naturally, the same abuse is going on at the house. Learn behaviors. People don't just go out and create new behaviors. They learn them and they go out and practice. Because that's the only way they stop. They don't know anything. You don't learn behaviors by reading books. You learn them by experiencing them. Seeing is much more effective than reading a book about it. It takes time to translate something you have learned into practice. So much effort, everything, and help in the environment. The environment has already helped do something opposite. The damage is done, now you want to fix it, the only way is police. Yeah, it's like surgery, you know. When you are too sick, all you need is to go to the ER. Because that's not the time to start from step one. It's too late for that. But we want to prevent it, and it takes time, and we need to really focus on what kind of relationship we have today, so that tomorrow we don't have this kind of problems. You know, having a problem like that in the Islamic center, it's very sad. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and help us. And help us correct ourselves. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala tayyibin at-tahirin.